ちちみこか振りがぬやか苦しむ苦しむ薄やみちゅしがべくないすげちょんちょんちょんちょんちょんちょんちょんちょんきじむながちょんちょんくまからあがたふかうみどやわがファッサカマデカマデフィヤフィナヨウチャナギラリンドチョンチョンチョンチョンチョンチョンチョンチョンイジムウナガチョンチョンイジムウナガトシワないね旅会中心ただどうやただどうやと旅やらわんアメリカやらわんチョンチョンチョンチョンチョンチョンチョンチョンキジムDon't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. Don't you know, we're talking about a revolution sounds like a whisper. While they're standing in the welfare lines, crying at the doorsteps of those armies of salvation, wasting time in the unemployment lines, sitting around.Waiting for a promotion, don't you know? Talking about a revolution sounds whisper. Who are people gonna rise up and get their share?
Well, that means this is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, and this is the Peace and Social Justice Program. And this is Laurel Avalon with you today on Peace and Social Justice. It's great to be back doing the program. I love it. Well, I love it on this side. I hope you enjoy it as well. And, of course, Peace and Social Justice Program means that every Friday, you know, we have different programmers who come in and who strive very diligently to bring you information regarding the state of peace and social justice issues in our community, our nation, and our planet from the perspective of our guests and our programmers. And power rests in the minds of the informed, and that's what we strive to do here on Peace and Social Justice, is to inform you. So, to that end, we have three guests we're going to be speaking with today. One guest is right here with me now in the studio, Charles Wathun from the Chico Peace and Justice Center. We're going to be talking to him about the ongoing programs and events, special events that might be going on at the Chico Peace and Justice Center. At noon, we're going to be speaking with Frederick Clarkson about the state of religious liberty, trumping... or actually equating to the right to discriminate in some cases. You know, just think of Hobby Lobby back in 2014, and now 2 years later, other cases are coming forward, which basically could kind of cement that legalized discrimination. An exemption for religious liberty keeps getting stronger and stronger. So we'll be talking about that. And then at 12:30, we're going to be talking to Ali McCracken from Code Pink. And as I mentioned to Dan earlier, when Dan caught me as I was coming in and out of the studio. Allie McCracken had the temerity, the gall, to take a sign out, a banner out at the GOP National Convention that said, "Yes, we can end war," and was almost immediately assaulted by a delegate at the GOP convention. So, oh, boy. Okay, so that's going to be our show today. So, good to be with you here on Peace and Social Justice. Okay, let's get Charles on the air. Charles Wathun has been a longtime volunteer and activist at the Chico Peace and Justice Center right here in Chico, and he is a board member at this point and still heading up different programs at the Chico Peace and Justice Center. So welcome, Charles, to the show today. Really good to have you.
Thank you, Laurel. Happy to be here.
All right. So Chico Peace and Justice Center, a lot of folks, a lot of listeners may be familiar with it, local listeners, but even those that are familiar with it, you know, it goes through a lot of changes, you know, in terms of the times that it's available and open, kind of the emphasis, what programs they might be emphasizing. So I thought it'd be good to kind of catch up and just figure out what's going on now at the Chico Peace and Justice Center that people out there who are listening might want to get involved with. So if you want to give us kind of a list or a selection, maybe a menu of the historic and ongoing campaigns happening at the Chico Peace and Justice Center, that'd be great.
Thank you, Laurel. I'd be happy to. Maybe not everybody is aware that the first and foremost historic and ongoing campaign of the Chico Peace and Justice Center is the Chico Peace Vigil. This is just one day for 1 hour since 1960. Every Saturday from 12:30 to 1:30, you can meet us at 3rd and Main Streets and engage some really interesting people. It's fun to be there on the corner and meet with new people that stop by and have questions about some of the current issues. It's this peace vigil that started in 1960 with Wilhelmina Taggart that really grew into the Chico Peace and Justice Center. And apparently it's the longest running continuous peace vigil in the country. So we are really proud of that and invite everyone to join us every Saturday on the corner of 3rd and Main Streets from 12:30 to 1:30. That's a fun way to spend an hour standing for peace.
You know, I think it's also, it's very inspirational because there are other folks there, you know, that you kind of sometimes, especially the way things have been going lately, you almost, you look for something you can do to, you know, you feel powerless sometimes.
I was just thinking that, how you run into people who throw up their hands and say, you know, what can I do? Mm-hmm. You can stand on a corner for 1 hour of one day and hold a sign, and then there's two people, then there's three people. You know, when they first started talking about moving into Syria, a couple days after that happened, MoveOn.org called for a National Day of Action. Hundreds of peace vigils were held in 41 states around the country. And that day, we had 50 people or more on the corner of 3rd and Main Street, and the United States held off on their plan to go bomb Syria. We thought that was a step in the right direction to slow down that military activity. And I attribute it to MoveOn.org and the Chico Peace Vigil. That was a great day for us.
Very, very inspiring. Can I just interrupt you for just a minute? Because I found this great quote from Toni Morrison that I think really helped me the other day when I was kind of feeling despair about the way things are going. And she had, apparently this quote was attributed to her. I don't know if it is or not, but I like it anyway. So, and what she says is, "This is precisely the time when artists go to work. There is no time to despair, no place for self-pity, no need for silence, no room for fear. We speak, we write, we do language. That is how civilizations heal."
And my answer to that is also, or how I relate to that is, one of my favorite quotes is, no one, here's this quote, get a load of this, "No one knows enough to be cynical."
I love that.
We, you can sit on your hands, and that guarantees the status quo. Or you can get up and join a group of people that are standing on a corner, or you can join a group of people that are doing nonviolent direct action, like our Occupy Beale that goes to Beale Air Force Base in Marysville, usually the last Monday and Tuesday of every month. This is such a fun event. You show up at the Wheatland Gate of Beale on South Beale and Ostrom Road in Marysville about 3 p.m. on Monday, hold up a few signs, meet with a few friends, tell some jokes, and then camp out. Have a little potluck dinner and a camp out. You wake up the next morning and do it again Monday between 6 and 8 a.m. And hold up signs so that the operators of the drones can think about what they're doing on their way to work. Oh, wait. Did I say on their way to work? I meant on their way to kill civilians. No. It's one or the other. I forget. another group of people that you might want to be involved with.
How do people get a hold of if they are interested, for instance, in going to
if you want to go to Beale? Uh-huh. Right. If you want to go to Beale, call Chris. Her number is 520-5973. Okay. That's 520-5973. Yeah, call Chris to confirm, because sometimes it changes for holidays and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But this is a neat group of people, and it's a fun event. I recommend it highly.
And then, Charles, what about the vigil? Did you just show up?
Yes.
You don't have to call anybody?
Don't call anybody.
They have signs there?
Yep, you bet. We got plenty of signs for everybody.
Okay.
No lack of signs on 3rd and Main.
You can bring your own.
Saturday, between 12:30 and 1:30.
Great.
Yeah,
okay.
Just show up. And we can help you. One of the fun things that about this is all the interesting movies that are coming up. One of the other groups I like to talk about that is a interesting group at the Chico Peace and Justice Center is the Chico Palestine Action Group. I want to encourage everyone to go online and watch the remarkable movie The Gatekeepers. It's at cosmos-documentaries.blogspot. But you just Google Gatekeepers, watch the free movie, and you can find it. And this it blew my mind. It's interviews with at least four retired heads of the Shin Bet, which is the Israeli version of the CIA. Pretty knowledgeable and influential and authoritative people. And every one of them is in disagreement with the Israeli foreign policy about Palestinians. If you're stuck in the story that the major media is giving you, you might want to get some other viewpoints, because that's one of the huge problems that we're facing today is the censorship, the veil of censorship that people are living under. We're not getting the straight story that's coming out of Gaza. The UN has repeatedly decried the problem with news coverage. We're just not getting good information on these major topics. Another group.
How do you contact the Chico Palestine Action Group?
I would
contact the Peace Center?
Yeah, I have to say call the Peace Center.
Uh-huh.
That number is 893-9078.
The Peace Center has, they're on Twitter, right?
Yes.
They do Twitter,
yes,
and they
right.
also are on Facebook.
YouTube,
yeah.
Facebook. You bet. That's one of the fun things about the center is that we've just got a new website up and running. I would like everyone to check out www.chicopeace.org and see our new website
for current
programs,
it's
upcoming
really
events,
great.
And you could renew your membership all online.
Yeah.
We're going to have a new Chico Peace podcast show on SoundCloud, www.soundcloud.com/Chico Peace podcast. So that'll be fun. You might want to check that out.
Okay.
Another group that is looking for volunteers, that is doing some fun stuff, is the Peace Panel Project. This is a group that wants to talk about nonviolent communication, how to have great relationships, how to have peace in your own life right now, Ruses for War by Quigley, the fact that we've been lied to about our involvement in wars, and then Project Censored, the fact that we're not getting good information from our media, and then Better World Shopping, by Jones, Better World Shopping Guide, what you can do about it, how you really have power with the dollars that you spend. And another fun thing that the Peace Family Project's setting up to do, I call it Confound Christians. We're looking for a couple of volunteers to help set up our essential sequential five peace panels on the Esplanade in front of one of the major churches of Chico on a Sunday morning about 9 o'clock. The first panel would say, "We're fighting five wars now." The next panel says, "A lot of your taxes make war." The next panel, like Burma Shave, you know. Mm-hmm. Next panel says, "How much your time makes peace." Next panel, "What about thou shalt not kill?" And the next panel is, "Support your local peace group." I wow. am shocked that we can be in the middle of five wars right now. We're killing people in five countries wholesale, and our Christian churches do not stand up and demand accountability or that we even stop. I mean, why don't we try negotiation instead of just drone murder? This is be a fun thing for the Peace Panel Project to set up our essential sequential five peace panels on the Esplanade one of these Sunday mornings. If you'd like to be involved in that, give me a call at 518-1417. We could have some fun confounding and confronting Christians. But maybe one of the most dramatic groups with the Chico Peace and Justice Center is Career Builders. This is our counter-recruitment program that offers high schoolers employment, scholarship, and adventures as a balance to the overwhelming military promotional campaign. You may have seen the new billboards in town talking about join the military. What the billboards don't tell you is if you do join the military and make it back alive, you're more likely to be unemployed, you're more than twice as likely to commit suicide, and you're more than twice as likely to be homeless. Who wants that? Jiminy Christmas. Yeah, the Army recruiters don't tell you the whole story. And you could participate in worldwide opportunities on organic farms. There's the National Civilian Community Corps. There's AmeriCorps. There's California Conservation Corps. There's City Year. There's so many things high school seniors can do that's are fun for employment, scholarships, and adventure. You're not in a corner. It's not just the military or the highway. There are a lot of options that high schoolers have that we want to talk to them about. And you and I, Laurel, were talking just before the show about the four community colleges within driving distance of Chico that have dorms now, and with a BOG grant and a Pell grant and a BOG waiver, kids can go to these four junior colleges for just about free. Live there and go to school at college for free within driving distance of Chico.
So these are community colleges with dorms.
Right, uh-huh. Right. It's kind of news to me. I was unaware of them until lately.
Are the dorm fees paid by financial aid?
Right.
Wow.
Right, yeah. And a lot of these schools also...
Think what a great opportunity that is
yes.
for someone who really is not, you know, ready to really get out there and earn a living. Somebody who is maybe... even, you know, a former foster youth, homeless, you know, just thinking that they have no other alternative but to go into the military. That's
right,
the only
right.
place where they're able to survive.
We want to tell them their options.
Yes. Good job.
Another fun thing that's going on at the Peace Center is Peace Gardening 101, a grub education program. We're talking about sustainable gardening and the internal work of peacemaking. It's a comprehensive gardening workshop where you can learn organic gardening, compost pile work, seed care, seed savings, herb gardening, tea mixing, and more. It happens the fourth Saturday of every month up until September 16th, I guess, 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Chico Peace and Justice Center. Mm. The contact person for that program, if you'd like to participate in organic gardening, peace gardening 101, is Lori Niles, and her number is 342-1995. That's Lori Niles at 342-1995. If you'd like to learn a little more about organic gardening, that sounds like fun to me.
Yeah.
Get your hands dirty and have nice fruit and vegetables. There's Veteran Voices is another program that's coming along. The Chico Peace and Justice Center main programs. It's an ongoing speaker series featuring veterans sharing their experience in the military with no media slant, no recruiter advertising or entertainment industry glorification of the violence.
Yeah.
You can hear from primary sources about war and learn what it is actually like to be in the military. Mm. This is something that happens in the fall and the spring, and the contact person is Isaac. He's the president of CPJC, and his number is 893-9078. That's 893-9078.
And that's the Peace and Justice Center now.
Right. That's a program of the Peace and Justice Center, Veteran Voices, that Isaac has put together. Upcoming events that are going to be fun would be the workshop led by Scott Brown about his new book, Active Peace, A Mindful Path to a Nonviolent World. Increase your self-awareness, deepen your connection with nature, strengthen your relationships, and expand your capacities as a peacemaker.
Mm.
That's an interesting workshop that's going to be going on August 28th from 2 to 5 p.m. at the Chico Peace and Justice Center. We're going to have August Activist Movie Nights every Saturday this August from 6:30 to 8:30. You might want to stop by the Chico Peace and Justice Center and see a free movie with other like-minded folks. We're going to kick off this campaign with a movie from the group Campaign for Nonviolence, and their choice for the movie is called Paying the Price. That sounded interesting to me, so I'm going to see if I can catch that movie. I think that would be fun to watch. The contact person about the movie nights is just at the center, and that number is, again, 893-9078. I'd like everybody to know that we have volunteer orientation the first Saturday of every month from 12:30 to 1:30 at the Chico Peace and Justice Center. The Peace and Justice Center depends on volunteers. We're really hoping someone listening today has got an hour a month or an hour a week they could dedicate to a better Chico community, a more peaceful world. Stop by our center or give us a call at 893-9078. If you can come by the first Saturday of the month from 12:30 to 1:30, learn about how you can be a volunteer at the Chico Peace and Justice Center, which would just really be great to meet you there, and you will run into some really fun, interesting people at 526 Broadway in Chico. So that's a fun thing. Another amazing thing that's going on at the Chico Peace and Justice Center is Youth for Justice. Check this out. Bill Mash has put together a night and a day. It's every Wednesday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. And this is an event for youth experiencing homelessness. Bill says youth in risk instead of at risk.
Right.
They're in risk. Youth for Justice creates a safe space for young people in our community who are living without a roof. Youth for Justice offers a chance for kids to organize and to work on creative projects, including a development of a radio program proposal to KZFR. So if you want to participate in that, stop by the Peace and Justice Center on Wednesdays between 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. and talk to Bill Mash. He's got a his contact info is WOA, like without a roof, WOAROOF at yahoo.com. That's how you get a hold of Bill. And as if that wasn't enough, we offer beginning Spanish. Thanks to Ann Polifka, they have their group that meets Tuesday from 5:30 to 6:30. If you want to learn beginning Spanish, call Ann Polifka at 228-1344. And we have advanced and intermediate Spanish. And that contact person is Leanna Gant. And we have her email address is gantttl@butte.ed. And then everybody needs to know about the Chico Housing Action Team that meets at the Chico Peace and Justice Center Tuesdays from 6 to 8 p.m. because they help with the Safe Space organization, and they do so much for our community in terms of helping the homelessness. The contact person is Leslie, and her number is 518-9992. 518-9992. Call Leslie if you'd like to help chat, develop a variety of micro-housing options, including tiny home villages with spaces for tents and small trailers, zoning modifications to allow tiny homes in people's backyards. We're working with businesses and community agencies and churches and housing organizations to help people who are experiencing homelessness to develop a plan to ensure basic shelter available for all in the Chico area. That's just a great group of people. I wasn't sure what I'd be getting into when I volunteered for Safe Space, but it's just fun to get to know these people and be a part of such a neat group. To expand our feeling of community, I think that's one thing a lot of people have a longing for, is a sense of belonging to a big extended family. And Chico Peace and Justice Center offers you a lot of options in that regard.
It really does. It certainly does from the list that you've just given us. Right? There's really, there is a place to go if you're feeling a little like you need some way to
connect
and to do something, to feel like you're doing something, even when the world seems to be devolving, you know, around you. Certainly there's a lot of programs, different programs that you might want to get involved with here. So the Peace Center, you can contact them at their website. You can go to their website, and all of these programs are listed on their website. So Chico-Peace.org is the website address. And it's got all of these programs and contact info. I mean, it's just I really, kudos to whoever redid the website, because it's really looking good. And then they're located at 526 Broadway, right here in downtown Chico. And they're open. Are they open Saturday through Tuesday? Is that right?
Yeah, right. I think that's it.
Okay.
In the mornings.
Okay. And then like 9 a.m.?
9 to 2, I think.
9 to 2. Okay. Great. So lots of good stuff going on.
I don't know if it makes any difference, Laurel. My notes say www.chicopeace.org without the dash
without
in the middle.
Dash. Okay.
I know it went back and forth, but so don't be confused if
you
don't get through the first time. It wouldn't be unusual.
Let's see. I don't have any. Oh, yeah. It's chico-peace.org.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome. Charles, there's a lot going on. You
it
have
is.
Been involved for
group.
So long. You know, I always wanted to ask you, Charles, you, for years, were the owner of a business called Signs and Graphic Designs, right?
Right.
Signs and Graphic Designs. Here's
right.
a sign maker, right?
Right.
By trade.
Right.
An artist, if you will.
Well, thank you.
And then when you retired mm-hmm. and left the business and so forth, you really just came to life with volunteering at the Peace Center. I mean, you were involved in so many things, and you were really a dedicated, committed activist for peace and for trees and for all different kinds of issues in the our area that affect folks in our area. So what, you know, a sign maker that turned activist, I see the connection there. Is that something that you always wanted to do, but you were too busy with your job to kind of get involved, or were you always involved anyway and I just didn't see you around until you retired?
You know, activism is really available only to people who have the time and the wherewithal to be able to do something. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do this if it wasn't for my wife, Sally, mm-hmm. who provides me with a home and, holding down the fort, being part of a loving family is a wonderful asset that I've been blessed with. So many people, they're just, all they can do is keep food on the table. If you're busy 40 hours a week working, activism has to take a back seat. And so I was just thrilled at the opportunity when I finally was able to sell my business mm-hmm. and take Social Security. And now that my personal finances are covered, mm-hmm. I can devote time to progressive causes. I see so many retired people that are missing an opportunity to be activist. It reminds me of that Beatles line in the Beatles song, I see the love there that's sleeping while my guitar gently weeps. It'd be, I encourage all retired people, if they can eke out an hour a month or an hour a week, the Chico Peace and Justice Center needs your help. This is a neat group of people that are actually making a positive difference in our community. It'd be fun to have more people involved. Our phone number again, 893-9078.
Okay. I just got a call. It is Chico Peace without the hyphen.
Oh, there you go.
ChicoPeace.org. We've okay. Well, thank you so much, Charles, for being with us today.
My pleasure.
It's long overdue that we talk with you here on the Peace and Justice Program, and thank you for bringing all that information to our listeners.
My pleasure. Thank you, Laurel.
Okay. All right. Okay. Peace and social justice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Bruce Jenkins Insurance and Financial Services. Bruce specializes in life and health insurance, long-term care, and annuities. For answers to your questions about Medicare, covered California, and state-mandated required health insurance, you can call Bruce Jenkins at 530-781-3592 or visit BruceJenkinsInsurance.com, and by the Paradise Meditation Center for Everyone, providing a peaceful oasis during your busy day. The Paradise Meditation Center is conveniently located at 7655 Skyway, just above Billy Road, offering meditations at noon and 5 p.m., with 45-minute sessions to relax and center yourself. For more information, visit PMCFE, stands for Paradise Meditation Center for Everyone, PMCFE.com, or call 433-6325. The Paradise Meditation Center, where calmness fills your day. Sounds good to me. We'll be right back here on Peace and Social Justice.
In search of El Dorado, but you haven't found it yet. You might be an old man with his whole life at his back, and you can hear eternity whispering down the track. Or maybe you're a woman, or just about to be, and you can feel the generations swimming in your sea. But you know that it's coming, early as the dawn, a battle for the future, baby. Which side are you on? Come on, come on, come on, if you're coming. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, if you're coming. Which side are you on? Come on, come on, come on, if you're coming. Battle lines are drawn. Come on, come on, come on, if you're coming. Which side? Which side? Attacking the natural world, drilling and fracking, do it with the back of the craven and corrupt. For the ones who fight for the earth with all their might, and in the name of all that's right, confront and disrupt.
Confront and disrupt. That sounds very familiar. I think I just saw a website the other day that was encouraging us to confront and disrupt. Something like that. I'm not quite sure, but that's kind of the theme for today, since we'll be talking to Code Pink at 12:30. And right now, we have Frederick Clarkson with us on the air. And we're going to be talking about, well, we're going to start off with the GOP vice presidential candidate, Mike Spence, governor of Indiana, and some of the things that he's been doing while he was in the House of Representatives for, what, about 10 years, and then what he's been doing since he's been in as the governor of Indiana. So I want to welcome Frederick Clarkson, excuse me, to our show today. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Yes. So you wrote, "When Exemption is the Rule, the Religious Freedom Strategy of the Christian Right." And it's quite a piece. I would say riveting and alarming and all of those things. Tell us a little bit about the role of with Mike Pence, the vice presidential candidate, how he has been using, you know, religious liberty as a weapon in the war to discriminate against certain segments of the society, against gays, lesbians, against women who seek health care and so forth. Give us a little background on that, will you?
Well, sure. I mean, Mike Pence is certainly not the first to talk about religious liberty in these ways, but he kind of epitomizes a trend that's been going on for quite some time. We can cycle back to that, but what really put Mike Pence on the map on this issue was the Religious Freedom Restoration Act of Indiana, which was followed from an earlier federal Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which has a long judicial and legal history, but the original idea was to protect individuals against government overreach with regard to their religious freedom. And it was not particularly controversial. It was written by people across the religious and political spectrum. But then a court decision said it was limited to the federal government. So states started to pass bills just like the federal one. But when Indiana came along, they added a provision that would allow third parties, not just governments and individuals, but third parties like businesses, to declare a religious conscience, and it would allow them to not serve certain kinds of customers. And as we know at the time, gay marriage was initially a big issue. And so this would have provided a legal defense against a florist or a baker who didn't want to participate in any way in a same-sex marriage ceremony. So that became a big national issue immediately. And Governor Pence was supportive of the measure and ultimately signed it despite these concerns. He claimed it was, you know, intended as a discriminatory bill. However, a national boycott and the effort of a lot of legal scholars to intervene said, well, in fact, it's not the same as other Religious Freedom Restoration Acts. It was intended to discriminate. In fact, the legislature made it pretty clear. And so they had to go back and amend it to say specifically it was not intended to be a discriminatory bill. So he's tried to have it both ways. He's been he's a politician on the subject in a way that just has discredited him with all sides.
So, Frederick Clarkson, you are a senior fellow for religious liberty at Political Research Associates. That's a progressive think tank. And you are, as I mentioned before, the author of the report, "When Exemption is the Rule, the Religious Freedom Strategy of the Christian Right." So this is a strategy that has apparently been going on for quite some time. Give us a little history of the strategy itself, the religious freedom strategy that the Christian Right has been carrying out, I guess, for many years.
One of the more famous roots of the contemporary version is back in the days of segregation and Jim Crow laws and the entire civil rights struggle. Many conservative Christians took the view that this was the natural order of things. And so when civil rights laws came around, they sought religious exemptions from those laws. They were not successful in their efforts to gain exemptions for individuals and institutions from the laws opposing racial discrimination. There was one classic case, Bob Jones University, a fundamentalist school in the South, in South Carolina, sought to preserve their ban on interracial dating. And the IRS came in and said, well, you can't keep your federal tax status if you're going to have this kind of racially discriminatory policy. Went to the Supreme Court, and Bob Jones University lost. It became a cause celebre for the Christian right at the time. This was the early Reagan administration. But we're seeing similar kinds of claims now in response particularly to all issues around LGBTQ rights, but in particular around the issue of churches and universities and even businesses seeking religious exemptions from civil rights laws.
Yes. So talk about the Manhattan Declaration, which was a turning point in this strategy, a more recent turning point in this strategy, if you will.
Yes. Historically, one of the things that had been going on was that conservative fundamentalist Protestants and Catholics couldn't get along. They distrusted each other. Leaders on both sides quietly tried to figure out, well, we don't have to disagree theologically, but we obviously are facing similar concerns about what's going on in the culture around abortion rights, gay rights, and what they experience as impingements on their rights of conscience and freedom of expression under the First Amendment. So they got together and they were able to agree on a three-part platform, which would be in favor of traditional marriage and in favor of the pro-life view in broadly writ, and on religious freedom. And these were sort of a three-legged stool. You really couldn't support one without the other two. And this has been deeply and broadly integrated into the public stances, the common strategies of the entire, almost the entire of the evangelical end of Christian right, right through to the Roman Catholic bishops. So when we see Ted Cruz, or Donald Trump for that matter, talking about religious liberty, it's entirely within this context. The price of getting the support of the Christian right and conservative Catholics for any politician is agreement on those three issues.
Hmm. So part of the strategy, it would seem to me as a person who listens to radio, the media, kind of getting the media in control and there to spread the word. And, you know, such things as religious liberty protection kits for schools and so forth. But I do know when I turn on the radio in a station very close to ours on the dial, I think it calls itself Liberty Christian Radio or something like that, always talking about legal issues and how important it was for religious liberty to, you know, to call your congressperson and to, you know, be active and to kind of get them and get listeners involved in protecting religious liberty. It seems like these kinds of things are fairly successful, and that's, I guess, the alarming part of your report. Talk a little bit about, you know, how that strategy came to be, I mean, was it a concerted effort, and did the Roman Catholic bishops kind of, were they in on it from the beginning? I mean, who actually kind of were the key forces behind these strategies?
Well, these things have multiple roots, and I think that conservative Christians in both conservative Protestant and conservative Catholic flavors have experienced modernity and in the 20th century similarly feeling that their particular status, their issues, their preeminence in defining what is good and right and what a Christian society is has been in decline, particularly with as the society became more religiously diverse and the non-religious people played a more active role, and as Supreme Court decisions consistently held in favor of religious pluralism rather than the kind of religious hegemony that the conservative Christians thought that they were entitled to. So there's been a lot of concern and outrage, and so their organizing strategy had to be around, well, let's define what religious freedom is. And it certainly goes back a long, long way. On the Protestant side, the theocratic theology called Christian Reconstructionism goes way back into the integration of the public schools and the founding of the Christian homeschooling movement and Christian private academies to avoid the integrated public schools, using the argument of religious liberty and doing so often very successfully, to the point where by 1984, homeschooling, the right to homeschool was a part of the Republican Party platform. So, and there are Catholic versions of these things too. But the idea here is that people found common cause and became what one theologian called co-belligerents. And they saw themselves in a common struggle to preserve their idea about what religious freedom is against the encroachments of modern culture.
So this is going on to this day. There was, and please help me here, I think it's the religious, what is it, the act that just was passed by the House on July 13th or 14th.
First Amendment Defense Act?
Yes, I guess so. The First Amendment Defense Act. Talk a little bit about that. I mean, that's something that's, you know, we've been pretty distracted by a lot of things lately as news junkies and listeners and so forth. So I don't know that people are even aware that this is going on, you know, in Congress at this point. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, actually, I wasn't even aware that it passed either. I was pretty distracted by
yeah,
that.
It was a pretty wide margin.
I know. That's so
bipartisan. You know,
but the idea of the act is interesting because, you know, a few minutes ago we were talking about the complexities of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act and how
that's
it provided
yeah.
a legal defense for a business that wanted to discriminate. Now, political activists said it provided a license to discriminate. And in effect, that was true because there was no legal protections. There was no anti-discrimination provisions in Indiana law for gay people, unlike other states. So providing a legal defense in that environment, you know, would have worked. And it was sort of open season then. But the Religious Freedom, or rather the First Amendment Defense Act, does what that complicated legal thing in the Religious Freedom Restoration Act didn't do. And that was the First Amendment Defense Act actually makes it legal to discriminate on the base right of conscience.
So oh, that's it.
If I have a religious claim and I say, you know, I don't want to serve those people. They're clearly gay. They're trying to get married or whatever it is. I just don't have to.
So it's not over, is it? We thought that the Supreme Court ruling last year would have, you know, put the kibosh on that. But there's still, you know, the legislators are still trying to find ways to get, you know, that religious liberty issue out there again, the freedom to discriminate, or the exemption to discriminate, so that they have the freedom to discriminate. Based on religion.
Well, that's right. It's exemption from the law based on a claim of religious conscience.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not like they have to, in that instance, would have to prove to any independent body, to a judge or to a conscience commission or something or other. They can just claim it.
Now, didn't Barack Obama, when he was a senator, didn't he support something that had exemptions, but it would have to be, like, it would have to meet a pretty high level of, I guess, urgency or need, you know, to be able to do that? Can you talk a little bit about that? I'm not really familiar with it, but...
I think what maybe referring to is when he was a state senator,
okay.
When he was a U.S. senator.
Oh, okay, so that was an Illinois law then.
Yes. He was an original sponsor of of the Illinois version of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
Isn't that strange?
Not really, because, again, it was identical to the federal one, which, yes, would provide a very high standard for, again, this... That law only sought to govern the relationship between governments and individuals, and the origin of the whole thing was a case in Oregon, where there were some Native Americans who were state drug counselors who were found to be using peyote as a part of their religious rituals. So they were fired from their job over as drug counselors for using an illegal drug.
I see.
It led to all kinds of litigation, went to the Supreme Court a couple of times, and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act is about addressing those kinds of tensions between government policy and potential overreach into the rights of individuals.
Hmm.
And that's what the legislation that Barack Obama sponsored in the Illinois Senate is identical to. Different than the Indiana law, which provided for third parties to be able to, most prominently businesses, to be able to decide they have religious consciences so that they could discriminate.
And not, give us examples of the ways in which they could claim that they couldn't participate and that they had to discriminate because their conscience compelled them to.
Well, the most prominent examples all center around marriage, because the Obergefell decision of the Supreme Court that legalized same-sex marriage had recently come down. This was a response to it. And so businesses like florists, who didn't want to, had a religious objection to same-sex marriage, might not have to be able to provide flowers to a same-sex wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with bakers and wedding cakes, and on down the line. So if you didn't want to be complicit in morally objectionable same-sex marriage, you didn't have to. You didn't have to provide the routine business services you would to anybody else.
And now, I mean, with Hobby Lobby and with, you know, Mike Pence's actions in Indiana as governor of Indiana, you've got where women's health care is kind of, or health care, reproductive care, birth control, Planned Parenthood. Those are all the targets of this kind of claim that religious liberty trumps that particular issue, correct?
Well, that's right. And again, has to do with... the idea of being complicit in something that's morally objectionable, whether it's
like birth control,
contraception, or abortion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So, what do we need to know about Mike Pence and that particular issue in Indiana?
Well, I think what's important is that Mike Pence, you know, brings this integrated point of view to his governance and to his politics. He gets the three-legged stool of religious liberty and anti-abortion politics and opposition to LGBTQ rights. I mean, it's not like he's a mean-spirited man, but he does not believe that these are things that are appropriate for government's involvement. They don't seek protection for LGBTQ people, and he opposes marriage equality. But it's not that benign, because the Religious Freedom Restoration Act actively sought to do in Indiana was to provide others a basis for discrimination. And this is where we're going to see the activism of politics of Mike Pence, should he be in office, any office ever again, is he's going to be seeking for more opportunities for more exemptions from laws to which he objects, consistent with the strategy of the Christian right that we've seen over the past decade or so.
And I think what it really points out is just the importance in this election of the Supreme Court makeup. Because where there are arguments to be had against the exemptions on this basis of religious liberty, and to discriminate, the exemptions to be able to discriminate, you know, we see the Supreme Court as the kind of the ultimate protector, you know, of right. of both sides, I suppose. And so it's really important in that regard. Is that correct?
Well, absolutely. And we have only 8 members of the Supreme Court. And we heard Donald Trump last night say that if he's elected, he wants to appoint people in the mold of the late Justice Scalia. So he's made his views very clear.
Yeah. So, okay. Anything else that that you would like to comment on in terms of this issue?
Sure. Just one thing, and we don't have a lot of time to get into it, but, you know, we ought not be thinking of these things about civil rights versus religious freedom. It's very important not to let the Christian right own the issue of religious freedom, which is a progressive value. It's thought to promote equality among people and not discrimination. And to be able to own it and to articulate it and to defend the religious freedom, the rights of conscience of all people, believers and non-believers, to believe as they will and act those things out in public, is integral, is key to, it's the glue that allows a religiously plural and diverse society like ours to go forward in relative peace and harmony. Sure, there are going to be tensions. Sure, it's not easy to get along with people who are not like you, but it's our obligation to try, and the idea of religious freedom was intended to make that possible. So let's not cede that issue to the Christian right, because it will only be much worse if we do.
Oh, well said. Thank you so much for finishing off with that. Frederick Clarkson, a senior fellow for religious liberty at Political Research Associates. You have a great website, by the way. I would encourage people to go there. Is it politicalresearch.org? Is that right?
Yep.
Yes. Okay. And on that website, you will see many, many things, but among them, your report. And I've just lost the name of your report. Tell me what it is again.
Let's see. When exemption is the rule,
yes,
the religious freedom strategy of the Christian right.
Okay,
published in January.
Yes, yes, great article, and much more there too. Certainly, a lot of things that are affect us all, and with lots of information that we aren't going to be able to get in too many places. So this is one place where you can find some good information. That's politicalresearch.org. And thank you so much, Mr. Clarkson, for being with us today on Peace and Social Justice.
Well, thank you very much for having me.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. It's listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. You're in tune to Peace and Social Justice. And we're going to be right back with our next guest in just a few minutes.
You might be a young man with a mountain in his step, in search of El Dorado, but you haven't found it yet. You might be an old man with his whole life at his back, and you can hear eternity whispering down the track. Or maybe you're a woman, or just about to be, and you can feel the generations swimming in your sea. But you know that it's coming, surely as the dawn, a battle for the future.
sure, baby, which side are you on? Come on, come on, come on, if you're coming. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on, if you're coming. Which side are you on? Come on, come on, come on, if you're coming. Battle lines are drawn. Come on, come on, come on, if you're coming. Which side are you on? Which side? The corporations attacking. Which side? The natural world drilling and fracking. Do it with the back of the president and corrupt. Which side? For the ones who fight. Which side? For the earth with all their might. Which side? And in the name of all that's right.
All right. Welcome back to Peace and Social Justice. And this is, as I said, FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. It's listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And this is the Peace and Social Justice program. And we have Allie McCracken from Code Pink joining us today on Peace and Social Justice. Welcome to the program, Allie.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Yes, and you are on your way, right? Are you in a car right now traveling from, what, Cleveland to Philadelphia, perhaps?
That's correct. I am on my way from the RNC to the DNC.
Okay. You never stop, do you? So, okay. So there have been some, well, I watched the convention last night on TV, and I was really amazed to see Medea Benjamin from Code Pink kind of in the show there for a while. I loved the commentators, you know, who said they knew immediately when they saw her. They said, oh, that's Code Pink. And they said they claimed not to know Medea's name, but they did say, "Oh yeah, she lives in Washington and D.C. and that is she's Code Pink." So I thought that was really great, and she might get a kick out of knowing that NBC commentators immediately recognized her activism.
Funny.
Yeah, so
that's what happens when you're in the face of power all the time.
Yes, and when you're in the face of power, that's right. So, and you've definitely been there. So I think a lot of folks know because of Democracy Now! Know about the tennis ball terrorism kind of thing, but you might want to go into that a little bit. But also, I was amazed that you were basically assaulted by someone because of your banner that you had, and the banner was just, I mean, it said something like, yes, we can end war. Is that correct?
I wouldn't say assaulted.
Oh, okay.
Actually extremely gentle with me, but I...
Oh, good. I'm glad to know that. Go ahead.
Yeah, but we did have an epic tug-of-war battle for my banner when I pulled it out during Senator Jeff Sessions' speech on Monday night. So I wouldn't say assaulted, but there were three people who were trying exceptionally hard to get my banner out of my hands, which read, "Yes, we can end war."
Wow. Did they want to hold it up, perhaps? I mean, it's such a great banner.
If only.
And so, and then tell us a little bit about the tennis ball for those who did not, for those who missed it on Democracy Now! Great report on Democracy Now! About that.
Sure. So, the week in Cleveland has been very interesting. Just to give some context to the tennis ball situation, you know, the city of Cleveland spent millions of dollars on militarizing the police in anticipation of the masses of protesters that they thought were going to come, but there actually weren't as many as I think they expected or that we on the left expected, because apparently the left isn't as threatened by Donald Trump as we as I thought they were. But the police went to extraordinarily outrageous and at times absurd measures for quote-unquote safety purposes. And specifically, they had a list of 72 banned items that weren't allowed within a 1.7-mile perimeter around the convention center. And on that list included things like rockets and sledgehammers, slingshots, but there was also tennis balls on the list, and conspicuously missing was were guns. So, you know, I could think a lot of our work focuses on demilitarizing our society, demilitarizing the police. So we teamed up with the Brady Campaign to End Gun Violence to draw attention to the hypocrisy of not allowing tennis balls in a space, but allowing guns. Being out in front of the RNC protesting all week, we saw tons of guys walking around with guns slung on their hips. The Brady Campaign had 500 tennis balls delivered to us, and we brought them to the front steps of the RNC. We had really cute pink balls and green tennis balls and yellow tennis balls, and we handed them out to folks. We put them on the ground. We were playing catch with them. We were having a great time, and then the police came over and started shouting at us, "Surrender your balls!" And then they confiscated them. They came back and took whatever ones that they could find, saying, you know, these balls could be packed with explosives, or they even said these balls could be packed with feces. And that's the logic behind having them on this list. So it was a great action because it was fun. It drew in a big crowd, and it sparked a dialogue at the convention about Ohio's open carry laws, what it means to be carrying around a gun. You know, a lot of people in Cleveland that we talked to, just folks who live here, you know, when we were in cabs or in restaurants talking to people, they said, I hope the protesters aren't violent. I hope that there isn't any destruction. But, you know, the protests were all completely peaceful, and the scariest thing for us was seeing all these guys walking around with these huge guns and seeing the police themselves with some with machine guns even. So I guess that's the long version of the tennis ball story.
Mm. So when you go, you're on your way to Philadelphia, so when you go to the DNC, to the convention, Democratic convention, I know you probably can't have things planned that you can talk about. And what is your emphasis? What is it that you want to say to the Democrats at the DNC?
Well, we want the Democrats to take a leadership role in ending war. I mean, we want both parties to work towards ending war, but since the Democrats are supposedly the more progressive party, we're looking to them to curtail the ramping up of militarism we've seen under the Obama administration. But we don't think that, we're not very optimistic given Hillary Clinton's track record of supporting U.S. military interventions in different parts of the world. So our message at the DNC is that it's time to cut the U.S. Military budget. The Pentagon takes a significant portion of our national financial resources when we could be investing in our communities instead. And we're also calling on the Democratic Party to take a stand for Palestinian human rights and stop unconditionally supporting Israel as it carries out the occupation of Palestine in the West Bank and also the brutal siege of Gaza. So those are our main points while we're there.
And were those your main points in Cleveland?
In Cleveland, our overarching message is always comes back to ending war and reinvesting in communities. But in Cleveland, we had more specific messaging around welcoming immigrants and refugees because of Donald Trump's hateful rhetoric that he's been spewing for months now. So there were a lot of folks here from different immigrants' rights organizations, and one group called Mejente actually recreated a cloth version of Trump's wall and surrounded the RNC with it to wall in Trump's hate. So we participated in a lot of actions like that to say that we do want to welcome refugees into this country, and we want our government to play a greater role in ending the violence so that they can return to their home countries. And we don't mean in ways that further destabilize the region through means like military intervention. So our focus here has been immigrant and refugee rights and end to wars. Yeah, and we'll bring those messages to the DNC as well, but it made much more sense with Trump here.
And so another issue that you have been involved in, Code Pink has been involved in, is drones, the use of drones. And recently, Code Pink called for an investigation into war crimes because of because there was a report that came out at the beginning of July about the civilian death toll. Didn't quite capture the extent of the civilian death toll, but it was an acknowledgement of civilians' deaths due to drones, innocent civilian deaths due to drones. Tell us a little bit about that action. Are you there?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that, and tell us if you're planning to bring that message at all to the DNC.
Sure. Well, I'm glad you brought that up. We are definitely planning to bring that messaging to the DNC. We have friends at the organization World Can't Wait who are doing anti-war speakouts every day of the week and with a huge emphasis on drones. And I'm glad you brought up the administration's admission or, I guess, their claims of civilian death tolls by drone strikes. You know, at Code Pink, we've been to Pakistan and Yemen and met with survivors of drone strikes. And we work closely with the Bureau of Investigative Journalism, a UK-based organization that tracks civilian deaths by drones. And we know that there is absolutely no way that the numbers are that low. We know that they're possibly and probably up to 8 times higher. And so a lot of folks have been thanking the Obama administration for its so-called transparency. But at Code Pink, we're not sure why they're being thanked. The administration has just admitted to killing a large amount of civilians. This is horrifying, and there needs to be accountability. They themselves are admitting that they did it. John Brennan, who is now the head of the CIA, was President Obama's chief counterterrorism advisor and the main architect of the U.S. drone program. A couple of years ago, he said to the American public, there are no civilian casualties from drone strikes because of their so-called surgical precision. John Brennan is one of those men who needs to be held accountable, among others in the Obama administration. So at Code Pink, not only are we calling for an investigation, we want these people to be held accountable. We need to set a precedent moving forward for the next administration that you can't just kill people with drone strikes and then say, oh, oopsies, there might have been 10 or 100. Let's move on now. I could think we're not going to move on, and we're organizing a coalition letter to the administration demanding a list of the names of the victims and the methodology for how this number was determined, because we know that the Obama administration in the past has classified all males above the age of 18 as enemy combatants in areas that were targeting with drone strikes. And so does this number, the number of 64 to 116, does this mean just children? Does it mean women and children? Where did they get this number from? I also want to give a nod to an article that was written in The Guardian right after this announcement was made by the administration by a friend of Code Pink, a man from Yemen named Faisal bin Ali Jabbar, who wrote a piece that said, where he asked, was my family counted in this number? He said, you know, he's asking, how do we know who is on this list? So, like I said, we're calling for the Obama administration to release these names, and then the next step from there will be accountability.
Absolutely. The other thing was the report didn't include civilian or didn't include casualties, I guess, in Iraq and Afghanistan. Is that correct? Drone attack casualties.
That's correct.
Yeah.
And the Obama administration has been using drones there for years.
Yeah.
You know, it only included, ironically, countries that we are not technically at war with.
Yes.
And so it's an astounding and in such a brazen admission by the administration. You know, Obama does not have congressional authorization to wage war on these countries. And if dropping bombs isn't waging war, then I don't know what is.
Absolutely. Well, kudos to you, to Code Pink. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing, and you know, and for making it interesting. And for getting, I mean, activism, you know, can be, this is such a really difficult time for all of us. You know, the things that are happening in our world are just, you know, and they can really get us down. And I think Code Pink really, you know, your role, as far as I'm concerned, is to look to creative ways to get our messages out and ways that will get attention. And I just really thank you for all the work you've been doing on that.
Well, thank you. I also want to say, though, that I was very, very surprised at how few people actually made it to the RNC's protest. You know, I feel like the Trump presidential campaign has politicized a lot of people who otherwise were apolitical, and really pushed already political people further to the left or more towards getting actively engaged in the political process to prevent our country from potentially having such a dangerous leader. But I didn't see people actually turn out. And I don't know if, you know, being out in the streets is the right answer. And, you know, at Code Pink, of course, that's what we love to do. And we feel like it's very important to show physical opposition. But I want to urge all of your listeners to get active, because now is the time. We can't wait until Trump or Clinton is elected. It's going to be one or the other. And we're going to be faced with a very serious problem. No matter who takes office, they're going to be a war hawk, and we're going to keep facing the same issues that we have been as a country. So it's time for folks to get involved now. It's not too late to start driving to the DNC either.
Yes, absolutely. It's not too late. Thank you so much, Allie McCracken, for being with us today on Peace and Social Justice. Appreciate you and the work that you do, and send our regards to the rest of the Code Pink folks, okay?
Okay, thanks so much
for
having me on.
Okay, bye-bye.
And though the earth may tremble and our foundations crack, we will all assemble and we will build them back. And rush to save the lives remaining still within our reach, and try to put our world together, standing in the breach. So many live in poverty while others live as kings. Though some may find peace, the acceptance of all that living brings, but I will never understand however they've prepared how one life may be struck down and another life be spared. Though the earth may tremble and cast our works aside, and though our efforts resemble the fluctuating tide, we rise and fall with a trust and belief that love redeems us each, and bend our backs and hearts together, standing in the breach. This world could be. You don't know why, but you still try for the world you wish to see. You don't know how it'll happen now after all that's come undone, but you know the change the world needs now is there in everyone.
Peace and social justice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the ARC stores in Chico, Oroville, and Paradise, putting your green philosophy toward a worthy cause. The ARC stores offer gently used clothing, furniture, antiques, collectibles, and more. All proceeds support local people and families with developmental disabilities. Open 7 days a week at 2020 Park Avenue in Chico, 2745 Oro Dam Boulevard in Oroville, and in Paradise is 6640 Clark Road. More info at thearcstore.org.
The laws of human nature always chugging from behind. I want to think that the earth can heal and that people might still learn how to meet this world's true challenges, and that the course we're on could turn. And though the earth may tremble and the oceans pitch and rise, we will all assemble and we will lift our eyes to the tasks that we know lie before us, and the power our prayers beseech, and cast our souls into the heavens, standing in the breach. You don't know why it's such a far cry from the world this world could be. You don't know why, but you still for the world you wish to see. You don't know how it'll happen now, after all that's come undone. And you know the world you're waiting for may not come. No, it may not come. But you know the change the world needs now is there, in everyone.
Peace and social justice is also made possible by the local, seasonal, and organic delights at Farm Star Pizza, where the farmer is the star. Farm Star features artisan pizzas, salads, appetizers, and desserts with vegan and gluten-free offerings, craft beer, and eclectic wines. Farm Star Pizza is open Monday through Friday for lunch and dinner 7 nights a week, with live jazz on Wednesdays, Sundays, and every other Thursday evenings. At 2359 The Esplanade, visit farmstarpizza.com or like us on Facebook. Thank you to our underwriters here on Peace and Social Justice and KZFR. We got some great news from the Housing Authority of the County of Butte. The wait list for public housing is getting short, and the wait list is now open. That's just the wait list, okay? It's not like there are exactly openings, but the list is getting a little short. So they are opening the wait list. They need to replenish their list of applicants for public housing, and they are welcoming applications for the Oroville and Gridley Biggs area. So for you folks wanting to reside in the Oroville and Gridley Biggs areas, or you already reside there, take note. The wait list for public housing is opening. And you can contact the Housing Authority at 895-4474. Also, some good news. A small home on Cohasset Road is going to open its doors soon to those struggling with mental illness or those experiencing emotional crisis. Adults will be able to live in the co-ed residential program's therapeutic environment for up to 30 days, receiving 24-hour support and services. The program was made possible by a grant and partnership between Butte County Behavioral Health and Willow Glen Care Center. So this is good news. You know, any kind of assistance, any kind of housing assistance certainly helps in treatment for mental illnesses, kind of immediate housing taking care of that need or lots of other needs that people have that aren't being met certainly exacerbates the problem. So great news on both accounts. Public housing is opening up their wait list. And contact the Housing Authority at 895-4474. And then for more information on the residential therapeutic environment for mentally ill folks or those experiencing emotional crisis, I believe you would have to contact Butte County Behavioral Health. It's a pretty limited number of adults that they'll be able to serve, but, you know, it's a start, right? Okay, well, it has been great being with you today on Peace and Social Justice. You want to stay tuned for Playing Dead at 1 o'clock, and right after the community calendar. And then 3 o'clock, Devastation Sounds, Chugalugu. And then at 5:30... we got What's the Frequency, Kenneth. Actually, I really love that program, Flotsam and Jetsam. Great programming tonight as well here on KZFR on Fridays. It's a good day. They're all good days here on KZFR for programming, depending on what it is you want to hear, you know, because we certainly got a wide range of things for you to listen to. Okay, we will end this with let's end it with Mr. Steve Earle, and we'll see you next time. Oh, announcement too. The Chico Peace and Justice Center is doing podcasts on Wednesdays, a series, and I believe that they were going to play excerpts of the last podcast, which was done 2 days ago on Wednesday, was on Black Lives Matter. And that will be presented, I hear, next Friday on Peace and Social Justice. We'll play some excerpts from the podcast that our community folks participated in. And it's the Chico Peace and Justice Center's podcast. So you will want to tune in and to listen to that, because that is something that is a new program, you know, put on by the Chico Peace and Justice Center. I'm really excited to hear it myself. So you'll want to tune in next Wednesday, next Friday, to hear the excerpts from the Black Lives Matter podcast. Okay, see you next time. Peace and Social Justice. Bye-bye.